I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Job 40. Job 40, I've titled the message, Confession. 3 points this morning. God is creator, sustainer. Job replies to the Lord, and the Lord challenges Job. Last week, we looked at God as sustainer. Last week we looked at the reality that God is in charge of nature. That nothing happens in nature without God's attention, without God's focus, without God's order. This week we want to reiterate, because it's absolutely essential that we wrap our minds around and settle our feet on the grounds that He is creator, sustainer. Because if we only come to the point of acknowledging Him as creator, then we are no different than the deist. If we only acknowledge Him as the creator, then what happens when the trials of life, when the problems of life arise? If we don't understand Him as sustainer, then it leads us to a fatalistic understanding of who He is. If John and Charlotte had not known God as sustainer during this last month, where would they be? Where would their hope lie? Yeah, they believed Him as creator, but if they did not believe Him as sustainer, they could not have gotten through this last month. Indeed, we who hold to the Scriptures, who acknowledge that we must gather as commanded, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, where would we be over the course of this last year, 2020, 2021, when government said, don't meet for fear of this virus? If we don't believe that God's sustainer, then we say, okay, yeah, sure. We're placing our faith in government as our sustainer. We're placing ourselves in other means to protect us as our sustainer. Let's begin by reading the first two verses. Job chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before You. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You are our Creator, Sustainer. You are not just our Creator. You are not just our Sustainer. You are our Creator, Sustainer. You created everything that we see, we hear, we touch, we taste, we smell, and You sustain all that by Your power and by Your sovereignty. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All of life and the universe would come to a dead standstill if there were no creator and sustainer. All of life would come to a dead standstill without God as creator and sustainer. There's nothing that would be unaffected by that dire reality. Job, up to this point, has been trying to teach God a lesson. The question is Job in a position to give God a lesson? The question is, are you and me in a position to give God a lesson? Over the course of this last month, there have been many questions arise in John and Charlotte's lives. Over the course of the last year and a half, there's been many questions arise over every one of our lives. We could very easily look at God and say, God, how can You let this happen? We could easily try to play the moral high ground, though sinfully, try to play that moral high ground and try to teach God a lesson. But are you and I in a position to give God a lesson? The answer is no. Turn back with me to Job 33. Job 33, verses 12 through 18. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man, keep back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. Why do you strive? For he giveth not account of his manners. God is greater than man. Let's come to that conclusion. Let's face that reality. God is greater than you and me. God is greater than our circumstances. God is greater than our consequences. God is greater than everything that we can fathom. Job attempted to instruct God in an effort to tell him something. But he's been uttering words without knowledge. When you and me try to voice our complaint, when you and me try to voice our say in what things should be done and ought to be done, we are uttering words without knowledge. And where does knowledge come from? Right here. Job didn't have this. Job had the oral tradition. He still doesn't get a free pass, but it's understandable. You and me have been given much more than Job was given. And to whom much is given, much is required. We must speak words that are instructed by God's word. Verses 3 through 5, we see that Job replies to the Lord. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Is this the same man here? Earlier in this book, Job maintained his integrity. Earlier in this book, he declared that he was righteous. Now he is confessing with his mouth that he's vile. Now he is confessing with his mouth that he is depraved. Turn back with me to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 5. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord, and said, "O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my voice, to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass has grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered unto the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and confusion of face, as it is to this day. And now, for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath forsaken us in our bondage. but hath extended, hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a revival, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by the servants, the prophets, saying, the land in which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the peoples of the land, with their abominations, which they have filled from one end to the other, with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace of their wealth forever, that you may be strong, and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, but we cannot stand before thee because of this. Ezra says what? The children of Israel has forsaken the Lord's commandments. What Ezra's praying here in the ninth chapter could easily be prayed of any of us in our day concerning not just our nation, but the churches of our nation. Where the churches in the United States of America, as we stand right now in 2021, have forsaken the Lord's commandments. And I'm not just referring to forsake not the assembling yourselves together. The churches of this land, those who place steeples on the top of their buildings with crosses on the top of those steeples, those who proclaim the name of Christ, whether by conviction or by tradition, have trespassed, have defied the commands of our God. When churches in our day, prior to 2015, chose not to partake of the Lord's Supper until the day that everybody could take that together. And after Burnaville versus Hodges was handed down by the Supreme Court, Presbyterian Church of the USA congregation placed a rainbow flag over the communion table. When churches of our day are ordaining homosexuals to ministry, are condoning sodomite marriages, when churches of our day are giving in on abortion, we are defying the Lord's commands. Specifically, Ezra is referring to the children of Israel intermarrying with the nations around them. What's wrong with that? When you intermarry, you're not just intermarrying a person, but you're acknowledging their faith as being equal with your own. The Lord our God is one. The Lord our God, He is one. You shall have no other gods before Him. We cannot call a marriage if it's between a so-called believer and an unbeliever. An unbeliever and a believer cannot scripturally be bound together in marriage. We must confess this as sin. And yet there's all too many Christian folks who would name the name of Christ as least with their lips that are caught up in this vile action. God's revelation had a threefold effect on Job, and it should have a threefold effect on you and me. It changed his relationship to God, it changed his relationship to himself, and it changed his relationship with his friends. Throughout this book, we've seen that Job's friends didn't understand who God was. They didn't understand who Job was. They didn't understand who they were. Job didn't understand who God was. Didn't understand who he was. Didn't understand who his friends were. And now, finally, we get to the point. God reveals himself to Job, and it changes. Praise be to God. When God reveals himself to you and me through his Son Jesus Christ, when his gospel is given to you and me, when you and me come face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it changes. It changes our relationship with him. It changes our relationship with ourselves, and it changes our relationship with those around us. We won't take time to turn there. It's a familiar passage. Psalm 51, verses 3 through 6. That is David's prayer confession after Samuel the prophet has just told him to his face that he is the man in sin for taking Bathsheba, who was Uriah, his wife. But we will turn to Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verses 7 to 11. This is to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Psalm 39, verses 7 to 11. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remember thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thy hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Where is your hope? Where is your hope when the government says, we've got this virus out there, we don't want you to meet? Where's your hope when folks around you who name the name of Christ say, okay, government, we'll do that? Where's your hope when you see to our northern, when you look to our northern border and you see at least three pastors who've been imprisoned, and the only thing that they've done is led their congregations biblically? Where is your hope when health fails? Where is your hope when you see faithlessness abounding around you? Now, Lord, why, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Let's place our hope in him. Job, as I've said previously, he was uttering words without knowledge. Now he comes to the point that he wishes he had kept his mouth shut. He recognizes, he confesses that he's vile, he confesses that he is depraved, he confesses that there's nothing good in him. Yeah, he was described back here as perfect, as upright, as fearing God, as eschewing evil. And then all hell broke loose. And he started speaking things that were theologically wrong. He started speaking things that were untrue of God. And he now wishes that he just kept his mouth shut. Finally, the Lord challenges Job, verse 6 to 24. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare unto me, and declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. Behold, everyone that is proud and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold now, Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar, the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass, his bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fence. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it away with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Look there.
Trying to declare his righteousness.
in standing, in attempting to stand on his own integrity and his own righteousness, he was lifting his fist to God in pride, in arrogance. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let every man be a liar, and God be true. Was God just in allowing all this to happen to Job? Is God just in allowing this to happen to John? Yes. You've heard me say before that the circumstances of our lives sometimes are a direct result of our own sin, but it's always a result of sin in general. John's health issues are not a direct result of his own sin. It's a result, trace it back to that original sin in Adam. Prior to Adam reaching forth, pridefully taking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there would be no health issues. There would be no sickness. There would be no decay. There would be no death. God is just in allowing judgment to happen upon this fallen world. And even we as believers are not exempt from the natural course of that judgment. Yes, we are redeemed. Yes, we are justified. Yes, He is sanctifying us, and He will one day glorify us. But as Romans 7 points out, we still battle this old man. We still battle the fleshly man. Psalm 29, verses 1 through 9. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to thy neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, and render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. Say thy people. And I just realized I read the wrong one. Got cross-eyed. But it leads naturally to it. Say thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The Lord God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. And in his temple, everyone speaks of his glory. We can challenge Job. We can challenge God in this life. We can try to challenge God when ill falls upon us. We can challenge God in the affairs of this daily life. We can challenge God when circumstances and trials and consequences bestow us. But the voice of the Lord is upon us. We must give unto him, for he is mighty. We must give unto him, for he is for his glory and strength. We must give to him, because he is the beauty of holiness. He's the one that orchestrates all of creation. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Are you part of his elect? If you're part of his elect, you're commanded. You're expected to speak of his glory. And there's coming a day when even the unelect, even the unregenerate, the unconverted, will speak of his glory. Job grew through hardship. Job grew through hardship. He was perfect. He was upright. Ill fate fell upon him. But what do we see here? We see growth. John and Charlotte have grown over the last month. We as a congregation have grown over the last 10 months. As we sat down week after week, worked through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through Job, coming to grips with an understanding, developing a worldview, a congregational view of suffering and service. We've experienced hardship, every single one of us, over the last 10 months. We've experienced hardship over the last year and a half through this pandemic. And we have grown, and we will continue to grow as we develop a worldview in which we understand suffering and service in the life of God's saints. But that begins with recognizing sin. That begins with recognizing that you and me are vile. That begins with recognition of the depravity of man. As I said last week, if all you have is God as creator, well, first of all, if you deny God as creator, then you can't believe in sin. Because if you deny God as creator, then everything's just winding down. Everything's just happenstance. Everything's just the natural order of things. But if you acknowledge God as creator, then you have to acknowledge that man fell. If you acknowledge man fell, then you have to acknowledge sin. And if you acknowledge sin, then you have to acknowledge that he alone is the sustainer. He's the one that sees us through. He's the one that calls us back, that redeems us to himself. We won't take time to turn there, but write down Psalm 104, 1 through 4. Isaiah 2, 12 through 18. Daniel 4, 36 through 37. When you and I recognize our depravity, then we've come a long way. We've come a long way when we recognize our depravity. But if we don't have an understanding of what sin is, if we don't understand that sin affects every fiber, every facet of our beings, then we will never understand the depths and the riches of His Word. We will never understand the reality that He is our Creator, Sustainer. It begins with an understanding of who we are. It begins with an understanding of the effects of sin in your life and mine. Write down Psalm 104, verses 10 through 18, and turn with me to turn with me to Psalm 93. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself, the world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. His throne is what? His throne is established from old. His throne was established when? Before the foundations of the earth. Before God ever breathed the breath of life in Adam, before God ever spoke any of what we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell into existence, He was reigning. He was majestic. He had strength in Himself. And in His creation, nothing is moved except He moved it. You and me cannot change the course of this world. You and me cannot change the makeup of the universe. Let us all remember that the Lord appealed to Job, and He appeals to you and me on the basis of His creation. The Creator, recognizing that there's a Creator, will not save you. Looking out and recognizing that there's a God behind all this is not enough to save you. But it points you to Him. Because once you recognize that there is a God, then you have to come face to face with who He is and what He expects. Once you recognize there's a God, then you have to come face to face with your own sin. The Lord appealed to Job. He appeals to you and me on the basis of creation. And guess what? Just says it right there in Psalm 93. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. God rules and God reigns. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You do rule and that You do reign. Lord, we thank You that You are our Creator and our Sustainer. Lord, we thank You that through trials, through hardships, through storms, through circumstances, that You bring us face to face with the reality of You. You bring us face to face with our sinful condition. You bring us to the point of confession, recognizing how vile we are, recognizing how depraved we are. Lord, You don't leave us there. You don't leave us at confession. For from confession comes repentance. And from repentance comes faith. Lord, we come to You a confessing people this morning. We come to you a repentant people this morning. We come to you a faithful people this morning. It's in your name we pray.